I don't want to lose. I want to win.
I need professional help.
Sports Betting Weekly.
Sports Betting Weekly, sponsored by EasySportsData.com. The books use data. Shouldn't you too? And this is Easy Sports Data, like the preschoolers use. EasySportsData.com.
I win here and I win there. Now what?
Sports Betting Weekly.
I want to win.
Here we go. Money talk. Here comes
the money. You should also check out sportsbettinglessons.com. You'll learn some old tricks because sometimes how you bet is more important than who you bet. Sportsbettinglessons.com.
Let's just do it. Let's meet this thing head on. And you were in it to win it.
Talk about an education.
Sports Betting Weekly.
Wow, winning.
Sports Betting Weekly.
Sit back and enjoy the show.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Welcome to Sports Betting Weekly. I am Second Half Chaz, and week six of the NFL season is upon us. We're going to be talking with a couple guys that have done really well this year. Both Mo and Blackhawk West have been calling our show for years and giving us winners. This week should be no different. Having to deal with the COVID, working around the handicapping aspects of not knowing if the game's going to be played or what players are going to be in the game is always difficult, but for some reason it hasn't impacted Mo. Mo, you're doing pretty good in first place in the prop me pool.
Not bad. I had a rough week last week. My fantasy team is getting demolished because of all the injuries, so at least I'll be first place at something.
Yeah, we talked about that on the Belly Up Fantasy podcast. It's hard right now. It's hard with teams. It's hard with players. It's just hard. Life is really hard. And all you could hope for is that we all make it through safe and sound. That's all you can do, you know?
You're right. If I have any more guys injured on my team, I'm probably just going to have to shut my team down. So,
yeah, you're going to be bringing up guys you've never heard of. Ironic part is they'll be getting playing time.
Yeah, I mean, this week I'm excited because I think I'm only projected to lose by 30 points. So, yeah, pretty exciting.
All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to start. There's no Thursday night game, so we're not missing the Thursday night game this week. We're going to be talking Detroit at Jacksonville. These are the Sunday games. These are the early games that start at 10 o'clock your time. Detroit at Jacksonville, what do you think?
Well, you know, Detroit tends to get off to a good start and blow it towards the end. Jacksonville has tended to struggle a little bit at the end of the game, so this could be a prime opportunity for the Detroit Lions to go down to Jacksonville and get a win. You know, I mean, don't take the Jags lightly. They can run the football. Gardner can, Minshew can throw the football. I just think Detroit's got a little bit more talent on their team, and this could be the time that they finally don't give up a lead towards the end of the game. I think Detroit wins the game.
That Detroit quarterback he's been supposed to be their savior for a while now. I think he's running out of time.
I think he's running out of time, but he's not been surrounded by the greatest of skill position players, so that plays a part into it. Then the constant injuries by, you know, having the defense on top of you immediately after you snap the ball hasn't made things easy for Matthew Stafford either.
No, and I really believe that certain teams that we talk about in the league, it isn't a player issue. It isn't even a coaching issue. It's the ownership issue.
And there in Detroit, it for sure is as well.
Next game is, this is the makeup game. Now, this game is actually still live on our Prop Me contest from week five. It's the Denver at New England game.
Yeah, you know, weird situation here with Denver getting some extra time off. New England, obviously, with the COVID issues, I'm sure they were okay with it because Cam Newton should be back in the football game. You know, Denver's got some decent bright spots. It'll depend on what the quarterback play is like. Melvin Gordon, the running back for the Broncos, got a DUI during the week, so it'll be interesting to see if he's active for the game. If not, Philip Lindsay, who's been injured for the good part of the season, who was the feature back last year, will be there. Jerry Jeudy, the rookie receiver, has looked well, as good as well. So it should be an interesting game, but you know, Cam Newton has done pretty well with this New England team, and you know, they hung in there pretty good with the Kansas City Chiefs a while back. That defense did. So I'm going to take New England in this game to win the football game and to cover the points spread.
Yeah, they're coming off of a loss. I would imagine Belichick's record coming off of a loss is pretty high.
Yeah, not only that, but I mean, you figure they're coming off a loss playing the third string quarterback. So, you know, and they were still in the game until the fourth quarter as well. So it, you know, when he can do that well and you've got the third string quarterback getting Cam back and helping after he's had a couple weeks rest should be just the thing they need.
The Bears at Carolina.
You know, this one's interesting because Carolina's been undefeated since Christian McCaffrey went down with an injury. You know, the Bears, you know, pulled out a squeaker last week. Foles is back to his old magic. It's just, can the Bears continue it, you know, on a weekly basis? They looked terrible against the Colts. They couldn't run the football. The defense was bad. But, you know, Carolina has rallied around Teddy Bridgewater, the quarterback, and Matt Rhule, the rookie NFL head coach. I like Carolina in this game. I'm going to take them to continue that undefeated streak after McCaffrey's injury. I'm taking Carolina to win the football game.
Yeah, there's a legitimate shot that the Saints should have never got rid of Bridgewater because he looks like he's come full circle from that injury. Remember how exciting he was before he got hurt, and he didn't play for like 2 years.
But, you know, and the thing is now he plays smarter if you watch him play. You know, he's running when he has to. He's getting out of bounds now. He's sliding. He's not doing what they need to do. And you know, when quarterbacks are young and think they're invincible and decide not to slide and take these hits, Bridgewater's become a smarter quarterback in the time since his injury.
All right, so 9 games into a year, have we ever had a Cleveland at Pittsburgh game where the combined records were 8-1?
Yeah, pretty insane. The Browns took down the Colts last week, played really good defense, scored when they needed to. Pittsburgh, you know, their defense is highly touted, but they've let up some points in the last couple of games. But the rookie receiver from Notre Dame last week, Chase Claypool, with 4 touchdowns. Pretty impressive. Oh, man. I want to take Pittsburgh, but I really feel like there's going to be some extra emotion from Myles Garrett, who was suspended for the rest of the season last year after the incident with Mason Rudolph. I'm going to take the Brownies to rally around Myles Garrett to win the football game.
Yeah, but you're not alone because the line's gone from 5 to 3.5, and a point and a half means somebody's taking the Browns.
Yeah, it's just it's so hard because Pittsburgh has dominated this matchup for so long. You know, when they're playing well, they're scoring points. But, you know, their defense that was, you know, a top defense early on has given up a lot of points lately. And, you know, Cleveland can do everything, man. They can throw the football. Beckham will be probably a game-time decision. But, you know, they can run the football. You know, they've become a more complete team this year. So it seems like a lot of that drama is gone. So I'm going to take the Brownies this year, hopefully not to burn me, and win this game.
Yeah, that 4-1 record almost looks like a typo when you see it's next to that.
Yeah, it does.
Next to that Cleveland helmet, you know. Atlanta at Minnesota. Talk about a team. There might be 2 teams in disarray, actually, with these two.
Well, you know, Minnesota did look a little better last week. Dalvin Cook looks like he's going to be out for this game. Atlanta, it'll be interesting to see how they rebound. You know, with somebody new calling the shots at the top. You know, they've had issues galore. Their defensive backfield has been muddled with injuries. You know, I think Minnesota's getting it rolling. They're starting to figure things out. Adam Thielen, and they figured out how to use Jefferson, the rookie wide receiver. I'm going to take Minnesota to win this game and probably win it big.
Yeah, they play well at home as well. But you never know what kind of boost you're going to get from your coach getting canned, you know?
Yeah, true. I mean, but it really looked like this team had given up already. So, you know, the trade rumors with Matt Ryan and their quarterback, I think they're terrible. They're probably going to continue to be terrible. And Minnesota, the last couple of teams, have started to get it together.
Yeah, I mean, think of how many people's worlds spun around at halftime of that Super Bowl, because it sure looked like it was time to fit them for rings.
Yeah, and they've luckily continued that trend this year.
All right, Baltimore at Philly.
You know, Lamar Jackson has looked off the last couple of weeks a little bit, not the explosiveness we've seen. They're loaded with talent on both sides of the football. Philadelphia, you think, would be better, but, boy, they've just been downright terrible. They've had some injuries to deal with. You know, nothing great in the receiving core. Miles Sanders last week had a pretty good game running the football, but Philadelphia's just been a mess. You know, I don't see how they take down such a well-coached team and John Harbaugh and the Baltimore Ravens, even with Lamar Jackson having a couple subpar games. I'm taking Baltimore in this game and probably pretty big.
Yeah, we were watching the highlights because I was traveling this week, so I didn't get to see the Ravens game. But bottom line is, even ugly, they win. Even ugly, they win.
Yeah, they've got talent on both sides of the football, which helps tremendously. They've got they've got 4 good running backs. You know, Lamar Jackson can do it as well. And, you know, he's let some other guys pick up the slack these last couple games. So, you know, we'll see what happens going forward. But I think Philly's just too much of a mess right now to even compete with this team.
Okay, Houston, speaking of coaches getting now, they came back, right? The coach got sacked and they won the game, didn't they?
They did. Romeo Cornell, who's now officially the oldest active head coach in the NFL at 74 years old, they won the football game last week.
So it's Houston at Tennessee.
You know, Tennessee has just continued to play fantastic. You know, you wondered how they were going to play, you know, coming out Tuesday night against the Bills, who were you know, on paper, people thought a much better team. I know a lot of people dropped some money on that game. You know, Tennessee has been fantastic. Tannehill continues to be fantastic. They're starting to get things figured out a little bit on defense, too. One win doesn't spell a new trend for me with Houston. I'm taking Tennessee in this game.
Yeah, you know, you got to remember, Tennessee was one hop, skip, and jump away from the Super Bowl last year.
They sure were.
No doubt about it. All right, of the other games, anything jumping out at you?
No, I mean, not really offhand. Nothing that makes me super excited. So you fire away with whatever you got.
That's all you can do. That's all you can do. Who's the most important player you have on your roster this week?
Oh, wow. I was disappointed in the performance last week from Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the running back from Kansas City. The most important person that could be around, not this week, but maybe next week, is what does Le'Veon Bell decide? I know he's trying to narrow it down to a few teams, and Kansas City is one of them. Could you imagine Le'Veon Bell being added to that football team? So that'll be the guy to watch. Will be Le'Veon Bell. Where does he wind up after being cut by the New York Jets earlier this week?
Yeah, that would seem almost like an unfair thing.
It would seem very unfair if he winds up in Kansas City.
So he would be on one side, and Hill would be on the other.
Yeah, I mean, you know, imagine that you've got running backs with a concussion football and Helaire and Bell can, you know, slide out and play in the slot too. It would be extremely unfair at this point. Yes, with Hardman and Sammy Watkins as well. Oh yeah, and that guy named Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, minor little detail. All right, so don't forget you've got the lead. The Prop Me contest is up for week 6. We wish you luck, but it doesn't seem like you need it, Mo. We'll talk to you next time.
All right, buddy. Have a good one.
And that's the thing about talking with Mo from the Mo Radio Show. He doesn't talk about it like it's handicapping. He talks about it like he's covering the sports for his radio show. And it just, you work it back, and he wins a lot of bets. When we come back from break, we'll have Black Hawk West on. You're listening to Sports Betting Weekly.
Could this be a trap?
I always think everything could be a trap, which is why I'm still alive.
However, the amount is 50 florins.
Well, that's all we got.
Yes, and if we had 60, the bet would be 60.
That's been a mistake. Give me my money back. No.
Are you using JoinUWager.com? When you win, your book should pay you fast, and JoinUWager.com does. It's as simple as that. Need a new book? Check out JoinUWager.com. Live action is the best way to win, and JoinJazzSports.com has the most lines. You'll have tons of team totals, first quarter parlays too. Jazz is offering things that other books won't. If you want more options to win, use Jazz Sports. JoinJazzSports.com.
Sports Betting Weekly.
You keep lying when you ought to be truthing. And you keep losing when you ought to not bet.
Sit back and enjoy the show.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Welcome back to Sports Betting Weekly. I am Second Half Chaz. If you missed any of the first half of the show, you got to go back and listen to Mo from the Mo Radio Show. It's funny because Mo's really not always talking about the point spreads. He's talking about football, and he's usually right. And now we're going to go out and talk to Black Hawk West. Now, Black Hawk West has been giving us winners for a lot of years, but not just football winners. We talk hockey. We talk baseball. We talk a little bit of everything. And where COVID is hurting a lot of people, it's really not impacting you too much, is it, Wes?
No, it hasn't. I mean, there's a couple things that are difficult to read. You know, the Tuesday night was an interesting dynamic to adjust to, but you know, the teams that have been like Pittsburgh, they were forced into an unplanned bye week. But I mean, in this last Pittsburgh game, I felt like they were going to come out firing, and they sure did. And, you know, Tennessee was the same deal. They had all kinds of COVID related problems, and, you know, they were forced into a bye and quarantine and everything else. And they came out, and it was a pretty impressive win over, you know, what's been one of the top quarterbacks in the league. So, I mean, a lot of changes to stay up on. The coaching and, you know, the Nick Saban, that's going to be interesting to see how that goes on this week. But for the most part, I mean, it's just football, and they take the field and they play the game. Defense has been really bad, specifically in the SEC for college, and in the NFL, the defenses haven't been particularly great either. But It hasn't been difficult. I have a pretty good winning record for the NFL where we stand right now.
The NFL kickers are playing like they're on Saturday, too.
They really are, but there's a couple Saturday kickers that are playing like they belong on Sundays. I mean, there was a 58-yarder to win a game a couple nights ago, and there was a nice 46-yarder last night. I
brought this up. I didn't bring this up with Mo because we didn't really drift into college. But, you know, we do the podcast with Belly Up on Saturday nights. Well, they've been really doing a great job of bringing me luck. So, but I'm traveling, so I'm out of sorts. And as you know, if you've got four monitors and that's how you spend your weekend betting sports and you travel, it's tough. But that's how you keep marriages going. So you travel. What are you going to do?
Exactly.
And it was the Clemson game. And they were going to – Miami was going to kick a field goal at the end of the first half, which would have still – it was like 21-3. It was going to make it 24. Or no, Clemson was going to kick it. And Miami blocked it and took it back for a touchdown. Did you see that play?
Yeah, I watched every bit of that game, and I was on the losing side of it. I really like Miami, but Miami's got a great special team.
Let me tell you the story. I don't know because my packet is in a different room. We're having dinner, so I can't have my phone on. The game is on TV, but I don't really know the line. So it turns out I hit the first half Clemson and over parlay because of that extra point.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, and I hit the Clemson and over second half parlay. And somehow the house made it, so I didn't win the game, Clemson and over parlay. How do you hit the first half and over and the second half and over, but not hit the game half and over? And that, Wes, is sports betting.
That's how it works, but at least you cashed a couple.
No, no doubt about it. But wouldn't you, if I told you I hit the favorite in the over in the first half and the favorite in the over in the second half, that you would assume it would be a winner for the game?
I would have assumed it would have been a clean sweep, but that's why we got six bets a game.
No doubt about it. Sports betting is a trip. Okay, so we're going to start with the early game for you is going to be Cincinnati at the Colts.
Cincinnati at the Colts. This one is a tough one because Cincinnati, I really like the quarterback. Cincinnati's not covering spreads. They're not winning games, although I think that the Colts are starting to turn a different type of corner. So I actually like Cincinnati in the points in this game.
Well, that quarterback situation, if you've watched Rivers as much as I've watched him, and the reason I watch him is because they shove him down our throat every week. We had to watch the Chargers. That he's doing exactly now what he did all year.
And Cincinnati has been in every single game. They got blown away by the Ravens, which most teams would do. But they've been in and covered the rest of their game. They're not far away from it. I think that in this game, Rivers is throwing picks. He's throwing picks. He's easy to get to. And Indy's defense is fantastic, but I think it's a little overstated by the one incredible game they had with all the pick sixes and everything else. They just lost to the Browns, who's a better team. But Indy has played against some inferior opponents, and 8 is too many. 8 points is just simply too many. There's very few quarterbacks, probably 3 quarterbacks I trust in the NFL with an 8-point spread, and Phil Rivers is not one of them.
Here's a game where there's a 1-4 team playing an 0-5 team, and the winner will be in playoff contention in the NFC East. It's Washington at the Giants.
And you know my rule. I don't play any NFC East matchup. I think that they just rough each other up. But in any NFC East matchup, I take the dog. So I will take Washington and the points. If Alex Smith is in the game, the dude came in the game and went 7 of 8, didn't really do much, but he didn't know he was going to be the starter. He does not give the ball away. So, I like the Washington football team in that one and the points. I think it's 2.5 or 3, depending on where you look, but I take the points in a Washington outright win.
Because I was in the LA market, I had to watch the Rams game, and I saw at one point Alex Smith was giving Aaron Donald a piggyback ride. Did you see that?
I didn't see that, but that's incredible. And that's the kind of energy that this team needs.
I mean, most quarterbacks crumble up. He was trying to walk with Aaron Donald 100% off the ground on his back. I felt bad for his leg. All right, the next game is the first of the afternoon games, the Jets at Miami.
I like the Jets in the game. The Jets have only covered one spread this year. However, 9.5 points is too many. I think that the only reason that that spread is in place is because Miami is coming off of a 43-17 performance. And that performance was against what appears to be a very broken San Francisco definition of a Super Bowl hangover type team. So, Miami's not going to do that to the Jets. The Jets are not a good team, but this is 9.5 points in a division matchup. I'll take the points all day long.
Green Bay at Tampa Bay.
Green Bay's covered every spread that they've played. This coach has put an emphasis on closing out games. So there's no true point. It's 1 point or a pick'em, depending on where you go. I suppose 1 point is a pick'em. I like Tampa. I like them to win that division. I think that they got a good shot at being in the Super Bowl. And if they want to be in the Super Bowl, they're going to have to beat Green Bay. And I just don't think they're going to. Aaron Rodgers is on fire right now. I know the world wants to talk about Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes, and they should. They're fantastic. But Rodgers is playing some of the best ball I've seen him play, and he's getting run support. Green Bay is going to win this game.
Yeah, and we talked about that early at the beginning of the year with Aaron Rodgers. It was going to be one way or the other, and it's definitely he's re-energized. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
He's energized, and he's smiling. I don't know if you caught any of the last game they played, but he is just grinning, smiling, going up and headbutting his coach and joking around.
The Packers have played football for a lot of years, and in the first three games, they scored more points than any other Packer team in history had done. That sure will get you smiling, Wes.
Yeah, it should. It should. And the whole deal about getting a rookie quarterback in the first round, that was a smart move. That's how Rodgers entered the league.
Rams at San Francisco. You mentioned them already, the 49ers. It's the Sunday night football game.
I like the Rams. I like the Rams in it. You lay the points. The Rams, in their wins, well, I should say in their last three wins, they've won by 20. They've won by 8. They've won by 18 points. So when they win pretty big. And I think the Rams got it. I think that the Niners have some things to work out. They've just lost to two bad teams. They really haven't played any great teams this year. The only team I would call decent to good that they played was Arizona, and they lost that game. So I liked L.A., and I like them big.
All right, so the first of two Monday night games is Kansas City at Buffalo. Now, this could have been the game Buffalo was looking at when they thought they were supposed to be playing Tennessee.
It could have been. And this is a dangerous game. This isn't going to be a play for me. For me, this is a walk-away game, only because you got both teams coming off of losses, and that can be dangerous. But in the sake of making the pick, you got to take the Chiefs. You got to take the Chiefs coming off of a loss. Andy Reid typically doesn't lose two games in a row. The team didn't really look bad other than their defense struggled. But 4 points and the Chiefs going to Buffalo, I think this is a big time in the season for Buffalo because they started off strong. They got a 4-1 record, and you know they're coming off of a loss. Another loss could create a contagious thing, but this the Chiefs and Andy Reid off of a loss, that's not a time to really be playing against the Chiefs.
Yeah, but as long as we've talked to you, you've always preached the fact that hey, when it's the only game on the TV, you gotta be very cautious.
I won't, as an overall strategy, I don't touch Sunday night, I don't touch Monday night. I mean, I have some statistics that I've broken down around it. They're just dangerous games. Those games, you can jump into a mid-game once you feel it out, but just to lay down a pre-game investment on it, it's just not safe. It's proven to be unsafe. Sunday night this year has been 4 dog wins, 1 dog cover, and only 1 favorite cover on Sunday night. I mean, that's not a place to put money and feel good about it. There's other games. You can't bet them all, and I'd rather sit there on a Monday night and enjoy the weekend that I just had.
But, like you said, if something hops up, an opportunity presents itself for live action, you know, then all of a sudden, whatever the opening point spread or opening side or total was, it don't matter because those are gone.
If Buffalo scores first in any fashion, that spread is no longer going to be 4. You might catch a money line Chiefs, or you might catch 1 Chiefs, although I've noticed the live betting is very scared of Kansas City because of what they showed in the playoffs on a large scale and how they can come back. They're very scared of the Chiefs. They don't make that adjustment very quickly. But in most games, if the favorite kicks off the ball, the point spread drops. If just on the coin toss that you'll gain points.
No doubt about it. Well, you're going to get the ball first. And then final Monday night game, Arizona at Dallas with I don't really know who's quarterbacking yet.
That one's easy. It's Arizona. Arizona is the better team. They have more firepower on offense. Dallas appears to be very poorly coached. They've gone against all winning teams this year, with the exception of the Giants, but and the Falcons, and those are their only two wins. But Dallas, believe it or not, is the worst team in football, college or NFL. 0-5 against the spread. Whether they've been favorite dogs, 0-5 against the spread. 1.5 Arizona just feels like a gift, especially being on Monday night where weird things happen. 1.5 Arizona, that's an easy one to me.
All right, so the games, the early games that we didn't touch, anything jumping out at you?
The games that we didn't touch, I really like Cleveland. Cleveland's getting 3.5 or 4 points no matter where you look. I think that this is a different Browns team that's going to go on to win the division. Even with one of their running backs injured, they still got another great one. It doesn't look like Baker's doing anything foolish with the ball. I love the Browns and Baltimore. I like the Baltimore laying the 7.5 or 7, depending on where you look. This Eagles team hung in there with Pittsburgh, but quarterback still threw 2 picks. You cannot throw 2 picks against Baltimore. You're going to find yourself in a very bad way.
All right, my man. Cash some tickets. We'll talk to you next time.
You too. Have a good one.
Yeah, so I guarantee you this. If, as part of your handicapping strategy, you go back and listen to the last 26 minutes, every single NFL game we covered with either Mo or with Blackhawk West, I guarantee you, you're either going to throw a check mark on something that you saw that they saw, or you're going to put some question marks down. Either way, you'll cash more tickets. Now, don't forget, you can find us. Belly Up Sports has the Belly Up Podcast Network. We're on there Saturday on Belly Up Fantasy with the DCs, and they've been bringing us a lot of luck with our college games. 9:15 will be on there. We use that Easy Sports Data from sportsbettinglessons.com. If you want to check that out, just go to sportsbettinglessons.com and enter your name and email. Also, you could always find us on sportsbettingweeklylive.com. I'm Second Half Chaz. Always be cashing.